from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Touchdown drive for Drake May. Said he was a little nervous last week. Why wouldn't he be? But all eyes on him. I asked you guys during the break, you think maybe you'll get him outside the pocket?
Yep.
And this is something you can do. A little quick fake inside to Hasty. He takes it all the way in, shows the football. He's got to get him feeling good.
And that's what I love to see. You can see a little bit of the swag on Drake May as he gets into the end zone. You're a Patriots fan and you're in this crowd. That's what you want to see. A little bit of the athleticism and the things that he can do.
Welcome into a Patriots Friday, the first Patriots Friday of the 2024-25 season. How you doing, everybody? It's Arcand here, in for Jones, who is out today. It's Arcand and Mego, a show that existed at one point
a long time ago.
Just the whole January. The entire month of January, the show Arcand and Mego was a thing. There was a sign. There was imaging.
There was?
Yeah, there was a little, you know, one of, it wasn't like, I think someone just whipped it up on Photoshop. But it did exist, I remember.
I just remember when...
And then it was gone.
We did like 20 minutes trying to recount a pool game that you got in.
Right, after my birthday, that's right.
A little bit of a confrontation.
Yes. I mean, I was...
At Sullivan's Tap.
I was on a hot streak. That happens. You know, everybody wants a piece of you when you're on top. Anyways, felt like my birthday last night. Drake May, what a performance. The numbers don't necessarily bear it out in every possible way, and we'll get to that in just a minute. But what you just heard right there... on the CBS call there with the McCourties and Zoe was Drake May taking it into the end zone after a short field, but still, a drive is a drive is a drive, and a touchdown is a touchdown. And May, I think, in general, looked pretty good last night. I don't think anybody is doing full backflips yet, but comparatively speaking, you look at what May did, you look at how he looked, you looked at some of the throws that he made, and then you look at Jacoby Brissett. And you sort of compare the two, and I know Brissett only played the one quarter, but it was not a great quarter, not a great showing from him. Drake May, I think, had some ups and downs, to be sure. It wasn't all positive the entire time, which he played most of the second and third quarters. But you heard after the game from Gerard Mayo, the head coach, if May is better, he'll start. And I think last night, definitively, Drake May was better, which brings us to our big cue, Mego. One that you came up with today, one that I think is certainly a good topic of discussion. You can bear it out by the results so far, which is, do you believe there's still a competition between quarterbacks, Jacoby Brissett, Drake May, and let's throw Joe Milton and Bailey Zappe in there, too, just for fun, because we may have seen the last, the Joe Milton party seems like it might be over. And I don't know about Zappe. He was in at the very end, right?
Yes, he got a little over 2 minutes.
A little sliver of Zappe there. So do you believe that there is still a competition between the quarterbacks to start week one? And we'll just go Brissett and Drake May.
I don't. I don't believe that.
Because
I know
May
that's
won
what
it, as
saying.
Andy Hart said. May has won the competition.
Hey, I wish that was the case, but we're talking about week one, right?
It's a good line by Andy Hart. He doesn't have many, so I got to call
him. I'm not talking about a competition overall. I'm not talking about the impossibility of Drake May getting in there in week five, week six, as early as that. I think that's very possible. I think that's on the table. But I don't think that they're intent on starting him week one. I still feel that way. And I give Drake May a B+ last night. I thought he looked very solid. I thought at times he looked really polished, which is not something that most people who followed him coming out of the draft and coming out of college expected to see from him. I was impressed by him. And I think most people watching were, and it sounds like the coaching staff was. Everybody agrees that that performance was a step forward for him in this development process. I still believe they have a very slow development process that they're putting him through.
True.
And I don't agree with that at this point. I'm just telling you what I think that they're doing, which is handling him with the ultimate kid gloves. You have 3 weeks until week one, until Cincinnati comes to town, and they have barely put him with the ones at all. And besides that, everybody talks about, well, that's because of the offensive line. That's because of the offensive line.
Yeah, you want to get behind those ones? You want to get behind Vidarian Lowe?
Who's joining this offensive line that's going to change that before week one?
I don't know anybody. I don't think anyone will.
Are you going to get Caden Wallace all of a sudden up to speed over 3 weeks that he's going to be out
Chooks?
There? Chooks is
going
to get up to speed.
Chooks didn't look great.
I don't
Lowe
really
was the
see.
Worst, but I think in general it was up the middle it was okay. In general, I'd say the ends were very, very soft.
I know that they've said he's got to be better than Jacoby Brissett, and last night he was, and it was a different kind of like examples that you could look at between them, different people that they were going against on the other side, different guys that they were paired with and all of that. It's not a one-to-one. At the same time, I don't know. I just don't believe them. I just think that the way that they've been playing it this entire offseason and training camp and preseason has been, no. The ghost of Mac Jones is hanging over everybody, and we're not going to force him forward. And I think that they need to challenge him more. I wrote this for WEEI.com this morning because I was thinking
blog.
About it. It's not a blog. It's a very fine news and information website.
Blogo.com.
Excellent column today for WEI.com.
It was. Bradfoe. Thank you. Thank you, Bradfoe.
I love WEI.com.
WEI.com.
It's my favorite website.
So I feel very strongly about this. Give him more to do. Put him with the ones. Ask more of him. Have him take more shots downfield. I think that he can handle it because he was out there last night in the closest thing to prime time that he's had, and I thought he handled it very well. I didn't see any disaster. Isn't this supposed to be the JV Josh Allen experiment? Isn't it supposed to be like, oh my God, he's going to take out somebody's eye. He's going to throw a thousand interceptions. He's going to look like a maniac out there. He's going to be a wild stallion that you have to tame. That's not what I saw last night.
No, there was that one bad snap.
Yeah, there was a bad fumble.
But who knows if that was all his fault or not.
And there was a sack.
Yeah. And the sack, I don't think, was his fault either.
There were some incompleted passes. And he doesn't look like he's like allergic to the check down, you know? And so I don't understand why you can't put more on him now, but I don't think it's going to be a competition for week one. I really don't. I think they're committed to the Jacoby Brissett plan right now and see how things come along for Drake May, but no rush over here because we can't Mac Jones him.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to Mac Jones him. I think that's a legitimate thing to be afraid of. That's a legitimate thing to not want to go down that same path and make some of those, thank you, Mac, and to make some of those same mistakes. I voted yes because I think if May keeps out playing Brissett and can't get off the bench, then you're going to see a mutiny. You're going to see, and not just, you know, in the locker room. I think there will be a little bit of that, too, even though people like Brissett. If one guy's much better and, you know, you got some wide receivers out there getting the ball and getting yards, and then all of a sudden they take the guy out and put Brissett in, that's going to be mutinous. Is that a word? Mutinous?
Yes.
There'll be a mutiny there. I also think there will be a mutiny in the fan base. I looked at the total attendance last night. It said 64,000 people were there. I don't think 64,000 people were there. I don't know if 24,000 people. That was
6,400 people.
It was sparsely. I even read in the ESPN recap, they're like the sparsely attended game. I was like, yeah. Whenever they didn't show the crowd that much, but when they did show them, I was like, okay. Like, doesn't seem like everybody honored their ticket. And there was bad weather, obviously. Maybe that turned some people off. Maybe the state of the team turned some people off. I'm not really sure, but I think that the remaining fans, the people who did show up, you show them Drake May greater than Jacoby Brissett, over and over again in another preseason game, in practice numbers and you know, the reps and stats, all of that, and then you stick with Brissett, you're going to get pushback from the fans, from the players, and I think also from ownership too, because angry fans don't lead to spending more money on the team. You know, like that was, he was clearly better than Brissett last night, clearly better. And I think he wasn't amazing, but if that's what we're, he doesn't have to be Joe Burrow yet. He's not competing with Joe Burrow yet. He's competing with Jacoby Brissett. And
not
so
till
far,
week one.
That, right. And then we're going to see where he stacks
then
up
it's
with
a direct competition
with the rest of
there.
The NFL. And that's probably not going to be very pretty. But in terms of this, in terms of what we're looking at right now, clearly he was better than Brissett. And maybe Brissett will make big strides in the next week, but I think we all know what Jacoby Brissett is at this point. And that was an ugly first quarter, by the way. I mean, just, you know, in terms of how the passes looked, the interception was bad. I didn't feel great watching him out there. Again, against not even the starters on the Eagles, mm-hmm. and that means that May was going against the thirds and fourths. But again, that doesn't matter. We expected Drake May, based largely on, you know, reports out of camp,
like,
and things like that.
He's going to be, like, tripping over himself.
Like, he
and
would have no idea what to
up.
Do. Exactly. And
that's not what
we
it
saw.
Was. That's not what it was. And that's why I think give him more to do. Just give him a little bit more every day. Just give him a little more, a little more. You have 3 weeks. I don't think he's going to start week one. Maybe week five, maybe week six, when you're at home those back-to-back weekends before, especially coming out of the first preseason game. I was looking at that and going, like, that's too early. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to throw him into that slot there. That's way too early. You heard other people saying, like, Mark Daniels was on with us and he's like, maybe he'll get in, pencil in week 13. That seems like a great time for Drake to get a couple games in when the rest of the league is either fighting for playoff spots or, like, sitting all their guys.
Yeah. That's
and
gonna...
it's like, awesome. I don't think they're there anymore. And maybe this is just riding too much preseason to preseason game. But I do think that what you saw from Drake May, yes, against backups, with a lot of backups on mm-hmm. the Patriots, showed real composure and polish and a lot of physical talent that we haven't seen from a quarterback outside of maybe a couple games of Cam Newton for a long time.
Yeah, that's certainly fair to say. Gerard Mayo, he's still... Mego thinks it's an illusion, basically. An illusion, Michael. An illusion of a quarterback competition, but Mayo is sticking to the illusion, to the magic. Here's Gerard Mayo today in his press conference asked about the competition between May and Brissett.
I lost it.
Okay, we don't have it. Well, anyway, he said basically if May's better, he's going to start. And he's been saying this all along. He
says, envision seeing Drake take first team reps over the last three training camp practices?
We'll see. You know, we'll have a staff meeting later on today, and that decision will be made. I do think, you know, he definitely showed improvement yesterday. As a whole, and we'll see what happens going forward.
There you go. May's better. He's going to start. How good was May really, Mago? I mean, we obviously think he was better than Jacoby Brissett. How good was he really in the grand scheme of things? What would you grade his performance?
So I said before, I give him a B+.
B+.
It's funny. We were texting last night, and you said some of those drops, some of those incompletions were a little reminiscent of the Mac Jones experience.
They were. I mean, really, specifically that Baker one, mm-hmm. which should have been 50 extra yards on his line right there.
I would say that throw looks a little different coming out of Mac Jones's arm.
Maybe it does, but Mac had a couple of nice balls to guys like Devontae Parker, Juju Gross. Smith-Schuster, Tyquan Thornton, I know, and those guys dropped them too. You know, like, mm-hmm. so I think that you have to play that out. I think we'll have a longer leash, obviously, for Drake May. And there were other mistakes that Mac Jones made that we didn't love. But just on that throw alone, the pocket presence, moving away from the rush, getting over to the left, throwing a dart down the field, putting it right in the basket there. And Baker, listen, Baker's a rookie. He's a fourth-round pick. Like, he's not going to make all those catches either. He had another one down the sideline where he ran most of the route out of bounds. I mean, these are things you're going to learn over time and get better at. And I think that already you can see that May's locked in on him. You know, May's already established something with him, and I don't know that Mac necessarily did that right away with any of his receivers. You know, he had Aguilar back then, first year of Kendrick Bourne. Maybe Jacoby Myers and him had that kind of chemistry, and then, of course, they let him leave.
Hunter Henry had that move in the red zone the first year.
Hunter Henry's a good one, yep. He wasn't obviously active last night, but you had, in general, you're starting to see that, and you see it a little bit there. That would have been, if he had made that catch, if he had hauled that one in, as positive as we're being about Drake May right now, I'd be having a different conversation.
We'd be sitting in jerseys.
Yeah.
We'd be sitting in jerseys.
I'd be sitting because I couldn't stand.
With Drake May, like, what did I say on the radio yesterday? I said, I don't need him necessarily to be throwing bombs, and he did throw one bomb to Baker, who dropped it, couldn't complete it. I wanted to also see what he could do physically, like getting off platform, having a quarterback keeper play, which you saw him run into the end zone. And for me, that's the kind of little pops of stuff that I wanted to see of the talent. Like, can he do this with composure, being under center and playing in a system that is a big boy system, not what he was doing at North Carolina. And the other part of it that I think we gave so much credit to Mac Jones for, and for some reason is not as much like a highlight for Drake May, is I do think he's processing well.
Yeah.
I do think he's reading the defenses pretty quickly. If you watch him go through his progressions and you do some of the Monday morning quarterback stuff, and I'm not somebody who sits and breaks down like the all 22, but when you look over his tape, you can see him going through the progressions and reading what the defenses are doing. And he's a little off sometimes with his timing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's a little janky still. He's a little apprehensive. But yeah, because he's very early in the development process and he's a project. But he's not a project in a way that's an outward, like, walking, talking, throwing up on his shoes disaster, like some people, Bill Belichick on draft night, sold him to be. And so overall, I give him a B+. I absolutely want to see more. I want them to give him more to do. And I think that it's very clear that they've been slow rolling it too much with him so far.
That was, I guess we all agree, that was our favorite pass of the game, even though it wasn't a completion. What was your favorite completion of the game?
He had the little one over to, was it to Baker or Polk? Just slightly over the line of scrimmage.
For the first down?
When a blitz was coming in, yeah.
Okay, I think that was the Polk.
Yeah, I think it was to Polk too.
Yeah.
And I think, like, Baker, those two are very much as advertised, where Polk seems to be kind of the steady Eddie. Like, maybe he'll be Jacoby Myers plus.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's going to be like a Davante Adams. I know there were some comparisons like that when he was coming out. And Javon Baker seems to be boom or bust. Like, yeah. I hope it's boom, but I could really see that going either way.
Yeah, and listen, there was a lot of rookies on the field on that touchdown drive. You know, it's certainly the type of play where you look at it, and May talked about that. We'll get to that in just a second. My favorite throw that he made that was actually completed was that little screen to Jermichael Hasty. Ended up being like a big chunk play.
But that was mostly Hasty.
It was mostly Hasty. But I like the fact that May waited until the very last second, took a shot, and still got the ball right into his hand. Didn't overthrow it. He did have an overthrow to Kayshon Booty in the flat.
Yeah, and
Booty
had
to jump up
it.
And one-hand it, which, I'll tell you what, I was impressed by that. I was impressed by Booty hauling that in. He only got like 3 yards,
It kind of ticked Booty up over Thornton for me.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm like, kick Thornton to the P squad or cut him, because if Booty can just kind of reflexively do that, then maybe just tell him not to think and go out there and do that.
I just noticed Booty.
Yeah. We all did. Was Thornton even out there?
He was out there for a couple snaps.
Okay, because I didn't notice him at all.
He didn't start like last game, where I noticed because I looked at it and I went, why is Thornton out there?
Mm-hmm.
Like a de facto one. He came in after a couple snaps and I was like, oh, there's Thornton. Okay, you know, hopefully he remains upright and unbroken.
Yeah, it wasn't a great throw or anything. It was just a little dump off screen. And he did have a few of those. I mean, it wasn't all bombs down the field. And most of the ones that went down the field didn't end up getting completed. Baker either dropped them or ran out of bounds or whatever it was. But they were nice looking throws. You know, they were not, both of them, I thought, were very, very nice looking throws, considering what, you know, we were sort of told about this week and how practice looked and joint practice, which, again, wasn't, you know, he didn't have any starters out there. So I think if he had played against the starters, you would have seen something different.
Right.
But he still had the fundamentals down in a way that we weren't maybe expecting.
And I wonder, with seeing like a real pass rush, not to discredit who was out there for the Eagles, but a full ones pass rush, does he turn into Zach Wilson or somebody where he's like, because what he was able to do last night was know when to throw it away, know when to check it down. And if you read the book on him coming out, again, it was like, oh, he doesn't always know when to do that, and like his processing needs work and his footwork needs work and blah, 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 blah. Well, if he's staring down a real pass rush and the pressure is that much more intense, does he kind of lose his head in those situations?
Right.
That's why I'm saying challenge him more. Have him going up against your own pass rush in practice and your own ones. Matt Judon's not there anymore, but you've got Keon White, who I know is listening to Gresh and Fourier, and Gresh is like losing his mind over Keon White.
Gresh also got to see him with his shirt off up close.
That's true.
So he's probably a little biased, obviously, but I loved what I saw from Keon White in that game last night for sure. He was disruptive. He was making things happen. He made me forget about Matthew Judon for a couple of plays there. So
you
I
know
think
who
that,
else he made forget about Matthew Judon?
Who's that?
Ramondre Stevenson.
That's true. That's true. Awkward.
We're going to get to that.
Did you
think that was awkward?
It was a little awkward. A little awkward how Stevenson was just not clear what Steve Burton was asking him at all. he was very diplomatic about it. I thought, you know, it was a nice response, just not to the question he was being asked. He was being asked about someone very different.
He had a lot to get going on.
Burton says, like, and of course, the person who left, or however he phrased it very funny. It was, like, very dramatic.
The guy who just left.
The person who's no longer in our lives. And Stevenson's like, yeah, Bill left.
Like, yeah, I'd miss Bill. He was a great coach.
No. The guy that got traded. By the way, we heard from Elliot Wolf in this game, and we heard from Drake May as well. Drake May, after the game, was pretty high on everything. He said it wasn't perfect, and he was very measured, I think, after the joint practices as well about there being ups and downs. But here's May after the game talking about that touchdown drive.
On your touchdown, you're on the field with five other rookies from, you know, this class. Just wondering, how special of a moment was that to be on the field with, you know, those guys, and what's it been like gelling with that group?
Yeah, it's an awesome moment. We always spent a lot of time in here in them rookie meetings. During the spring, it was just us, so... You know, it was definitely cool having those guys out there. I think one of the first things I did was I chest bumped, you know, JP. So just cool to be out there with some of the guys that are in the same spot going through the same thing. And, you know, fun time for us, that, you know, moment I'll probably never forget.
All right. So all the rookies out there, you sort of hear that and you think, oh, that's nice. Nice little preseason thing. This is the offense. You know what I mean? This is your offense. Your offense is a bunch of rookies on the offensive line.
Not completely.
Your quarterback.
Okay, how
two
about
of your wide receivers? Not
Hunter
no
Henry,
running back, I guess, but yeah.
It hasn't been out there.
True, which means he's not
Pop
part of the
Douglas.
Offense currently. Pop Douglas, there's
people. Other guys.
They're not
Ramondre's
the only bodies.
Ramondre's not a rookie.
But I would say
Antonio
that,
Gibson's not a rookie.
No.
It's like Antonio Gibson is just basically like the biggest afterthought on this entire team, and he's one of the only free agents that you added.
Yeah, that's true. But you do have a rookie, two rookie wide receivers, offensive lineman, and quarterback. And I think that that's, you know, you look at that and think it's a nice moment, but it really is going to be. These guys are all going to have to contribute, I think. From Kalen Wallace all the way up to Drake May getting into these games, I think that you're going to need to lean on them. You're going to have to get more out of this rookie class than you've gotten out of the last four or five rookie classes combined if we really want to see a functioning offense here. And that's something that I think puts a lot of pressure on these kids. We'll see if it actually ends up working out for him or not. I was impressed with Alex Van Pelt. I thought he had a pretty good offensive game plan. I think that it worked out well for the quarters that Drake May was out there, and it seemed like it built up some confidence for him.
For everyone except for Vedarian Lowe.
Yeah, Vedarian Lowe, I'd say, had a rough outing out there. And we'll get to him, and we'll get to some of the other things we didn't like so much in a little bit. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. It's Patriots Friday, so we'll open up the phone lines. You can call early and often here. In fact, let's start right now with Barry in New Bedford. Go ahead, Barry.
Hey, guys. He gets like a C-plus for me. There's one play last night that told me he's not ready to play. And it was the 2nd and 11. When he gets outside the pocket and you have that secondary throwing it, circle, you can just let it rip. And instead, he dropped his eyes and he ran for 6 yards. Every big-time quarterback in this league, whether it's Allen or Mahomes or Burrow or Trevor Lawrence, you saw it last week with Bo Nix and Caleb Williams. When they get outside that pocket and they got space to rip, to let it rip, they throw a guy open. And you didn't see that with Drake last night. He just took the 6 yards and ran, and we saw that in college. That's one of the things that Belichick talked about, that sometimes he doesn't leave the play. He decides to run with it instead of trying to create something with his arm.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, tells me he should sit.
Okay, thanks for the call, Barry. That's perfectly reasonable if you're a one-issue voter. Like, I mean, if that's your main thing about throwing on the run, then that's fine. I'd tend to agree with Barry if May didn't have any other good throws. You know, like if he was out there and like the rest of his throws were all dump-offs and everything, he had a couple of nice throws downfield, not on the run per se, but while moving, you know, while moving in the pocket or while trying to evade the run. Like he had to do two things at once, the processing you were talking about. That's all part of it, and he still got the ball out and he still put it where he wanted to, which I think is very promising. I mean, that to me is a very promising development considering what we were all being told about Drake May at these practices. It didn't seem like this was the kind of performance he was capable of yet.
Dude, we are just like so thirsty.
We're very thirsty.
Is the truth.
Yeah.
Like we see, the first throw that he had last night, I was like, it's a little zip on that ball.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't seen that kind of ball for a long time. It's like, I have found an oasis.
There you go. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. What'd you think of Drake May? Yeah. Yeah, we know what Mego thought.
Thirst trap Drake May.
and do you believe there is still a competition between the quarterbacks to start week one? Right now, no is in the lead. 50.3 to yes, 49.7. That is remarkable. This is one of the closest ones we've ever had in the history of the show. This is one of the closest polls we've ever had right now with no just edging out yes by 0.06% or whatever it is, 0.6%. Anyway, continue to vote in that and let us know what you think. Again, 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Where do the Patriots go from here? How do you treat Drake May this next week? What do you do in this next preseason game? We'll get to all of that right after Ryan Garvin tells you what's trending.
Arcan is so emotional. He's like Mama Bear.
You're Mama Bear for this team.
I like Jones and the Mama Bears.
It's Jones and the Mama Bears.
Jones and the Mama Bears here on WEEI. We got some
like
calls.
A folk group.
617
on WEEI.
Can you envision seeing Drake take first team reps over the last three training camp practices?
We'll see. You know, we'll have a staff meeting later on today, and that decision will be made. I do think, you know, he definitely showed improvement yesterday as a whole, and we'll see what happens going forward.
Once again, that's Gerard Mayo, head coach of the New England Patriots. Losing head coach of the game last night. Hit him hard there, his first loss as a head coach.
That was funny. I was watching his post-game press conference. Two things. When he came out and he was like, tough night for us. I'm like, it's preseason.
Was it?
Come on.
I think it was a generally positive reaction to that game just because of Drake May.
Yeah,
I think that was like, really it.
It's preseason. Nobody's really looking at the final score unless it's something incredibly, incredibly lopsided.
Maybe he had a little action on the game. That's the only reason you get mad about it.
I hope he didn't take the over because that didn't hit.
I would not think so.
I actually thought that it was last night was one of Mayo's better press conferences in recent memory.
I agree.
I thought he seemed really comfortable and confident, like way more so who I had been expecting him to be since he was announced head coach. I thought it was maybe the best that he's been, like not like anything that he said was so remarkable would blow your hair back, but it was one of the first times that he's been up there that I haven't been like, well, that was a weird way to answer that.
Right. Yeah.
Or like, oh no, he's gonna want that one back.
He seems uncomfortable. Yeah.
He just seemed really he seemed like he had command of the entire situation as head coach.
Yeah.
He seemed comfortable in his own skin.
And maybe it's like that, you know, you heard them talking about it on the broadcast, like with Drake May, you got to get out there and get hit. You know, once you get hit, then you're really part of the game. Then you're actually part of it. Maybe it's the same.
But as a coach, he's been hit like 70 times since he took the job.
As the head coach, he just had the one game last week. So this, you know, now that he's taken his hit, he's out there and he feels more comfortable. Maybe something like that. He's an ex-player. I don't know. But the question now is this team meeting that they're going to have to, they're going to have a big staff meeting and discuss whether or not Drake May is going to get reps with the first team this week. Should he get reps with the first team this week?
1,000%. He should have already gotten more than anything that he has. And I understand they put a lot of weight into the joint practice, although that was more of a Bill Belichick thing. And if they put so much weight into it, I don't think Gerard Mayo would have scheduled just one. So I know the joint practice was disastrous once they got to 11s. That's what all the reports indicated. Drake May was a 7v7 superstar. And once he got to more like game-like situation, he fell apart, as did everybody else on the offense. But I think that there's no other choice. Now is the time. When you get to the season, if you have any hopes of playing Drake May at some point in October or November, then you've got to get some of this stuff in right now. And I thought that Drake May was kind of asking for it last night when he was up at the podium, too. He's like, you know what's great? Getting more reps.
Yeah.
The more reps I get, the better I'll be.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's one thing to say, but it's also like it kind of sounded like he was pleading his case of, hey, look, guys, like I didn't fall apart. I didn't trip over myself tonight. I think I was pretty good. So maybe give me more to do.
Yeah. And I think that's what they need to do. I think that's what needs to happen here. Or Gerard Mayo's kind of a liar, right? I mean, if not, then Gerard Mayo's not really living up to this competition he promised us. If Brissett's better, or if May's better, or if someone really balls out. And I don't think you necessarily classify what we saw last night as Drake May balling out, but it was better than what you saw from Brissett. And that's, I think, the main thing here is I remember tweeting, like, it's going to be hard to justify not giving him reps with the ones this week. And people were like, wow, his stats weren't that good. He was only 6 of 11
for
47 yards. You're right. But Brissett was worse. I mean, Brissett was 3 of 7 for 17 yards and a pick. Like, extrapolate that over four quarters. That's an ugly, ugly line. And, you know, that's not to say he would have done that the whole game, but we're talking about small segments here. We're talking about a QB competition, one that prior to this, we all sort of agreed Brissett had been winning, right? Like, we all thought Brissett was in the driver's seat as far as this competition goes. Well, if that's the case, then you have to acknowledge what we saw last night, and that was Drake May outplaying him.
And the key thing with that interception that Jacoby just set through was that decision is the kind of decision that you had brought him in so you didn't have to deal with as much of. He's the journeyman who you bring in, and he doesn't do anything that's that special, but he's smart and he's competent and he'll hold it together so all your other veterans won't lose their minds, guys like Hunter Henry and Ramondre Stevenson and David Andrews, while you're waiting for Drake May to develop behind the scenes and bring him in. Well, if that's who Jacoby Brissett is supposed to be, he can't be making decisions like that where he throws a throw so late that it was so easy to read. You could read it from your television screen as it was happening. Mm. I mean, the broadcast in real time, there wasn't a whole lot of play-by-play, and I know that's their setup, but it was like, oh, no, on the broadcast. Yeah. And it's like, yes, that's what everyone literally just said.
The McCourty brothers are both like, ooh, I'd love to intercept that pass. Like, oh, man.
They zoom the camera in, and they're both just, like, drooling.
They're, like, running on the field in their suits, like, trying to pick it off. I mean, yeah, it was an ugly throw for sure. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We're getting it on the text line, by the way, at 37937 in the 603. You think Drake May played well last night, 6 for 11, 50%, 47 yards and one rushing touchdown against backups, LMF.
That's not what they said. They said one Russian touchdown.
A Russian touchdown, yes.
Which, for a second, I was like, wait, is that a phrase? I don't know.
When you score, you do that little dance.
Well, it's like he flipped the ball up. Is that like phraseology of how he ran in with the ball? I was like, no, that's voice to text right there is what that is.
Yeah, that's probably what that is. And listen, Texter, you're not wrong. I mean, those were the numbers. We certainly agree. But again, did you see Jacoby Brissett? Did you see how he played? He played worse than that. And we're talking about a competition between May and Brissett. We're not talking about May versus Joe Burrow yet, or May versus Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen or anybody. I mean, this is what the competition is. This is what we're judging him up against. And if you believe that Brissett had been better in the joint practice and these other practice and camp and everything, well, then you have to acknowledge this. You have to. I'm sorry. That's if you want to be consistent about it, then you have to do that. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's go to the phones now. Talk to Mike in Connecticut, who has a bold prediction. Go ahead there, Mike.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
So, you know, I have a bold prediction, like I was saying. I think Drake May will be the starting quarterback.
Okay.
And I think they will cut Jacoby Brissett. I think they will cut him. Yeah.
Wow, time is a flat circle.
So we're just going to get, in your hypothetical here, in this bold prediction, Mike, it's going to be May and Milton all year.
Yeah, why not?
Or not.
Well, no, I think you said why not.
Oh, why not?
Yeah, I would say $8 million is why not.
There's
a reason you did bring Jacoby Brissett in. I think if May wins the job, he's the kind of guy who, part of the reason you brought him in is because he understands the deal.
Right.
I don't know if they told Jacoby Brissett behind the scenes, you have the opportunity to start for this team, and we're not going to have him out there probably for weeks, if not months. I don't know what the communication behind the scenes is, but part of the reason Jacoby Brissett is here is because he's a good teammate.
Yeah.
He's a good guy. And
he's a good backup.
And he's not going to, like, you know, spit on the ground you walk on
right,
because you've decided to demote him.
I think that, you know, when you have Jacoby Brissett as a starter, you're in trouble at starting quarterback. When you have him as a backup, you have one of the better backups in the league. I mean, that's the way it is. He's been around the block. He knows, you know, different offenses. He can bring guys along. He's done all this before. He's not a great starter. He's not someone that you want to have to rely on for 17 weeks of the year. But in terms of someone in the locker room, he's got value. I agree with that. And I think that's why they spent a little bit extra on him. But it's, to me, You know, like you do that if you need him there to bring him along if you really don't trust the kid behind him yet. And I think that he earned a lot of trust last night.
Can we do body language, doctor, while we're talking about quarterbacks for a second?
Certainly.
Yes!
Okay. did you notice the shot to the sideline when Bailey Zappe ran off after he threw his own interception and he went and stood next to Drake May?
I'll be honest, by then, I think I was already flipping around for postgame stuff.
Okay.
What happened?
Well, I thought it was interesting to the point that I texted someone about it because the camera lingered.
Didn't text me.
And Zappe, well, you weren't watching anymore. Sure. Zappe ran off onto the sideline. And I was texting like three different people and I felt like I was annoying all of them because, again, it's preseason. And most of my texts were just, David Wallace! And then, oh, Wallace, you got to relax.
Like, what does Drake pill mean? Like, what is this?
I know.
David Wallace was electric.
I can't watch these games by myself.
Yeah. But yeah, so body language.
Okay. So when Zappe walks over to the sideline and he was standing next to Drake May and Drake kind of said something to him and Zappe said something back and then they both just stood staring ahead and didn't acknowledge each other whatsoever to the point that it looked a little awkward. Hmm. And I was like, wow, shoes on the other foot, isn't it, Bailey
Zappe? Is it possible that Bailey just can't understand what Drake May is saying?
That's very bad. Like, he
runs right there, their boss in this.
Those guys speak the same language, I think. Those guys are both Southerners, right? They're both
different types.
Different types?
Zappe's Texas. That's a totally different accent.
It is a different accent. That's true.
It's kind of offensive that you just said that.
I don't think so. I think they all sound like a bunch of hillbillies to me. Either way.
That's offensive.
Either way.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what you do, man. You just keep that dang old arm straight, man. Y'all put your left hand still, man. Just.
Oh, my God. How did you get that sound from last night?
I know. Drake.
I got people.
Very
that was
good stuff
Drake
there.
To Bailey.
Unfortunately, we're not going to be talking to Drake on Monday, I don't think. We'll be talking with Jacoby Brissett. So there you go. I don't know
we'll
if that's to tell you anything.
Is it icy between those two Southern boys?
It might be, and if it is, then that's two for two icy interactions there with a quarterback wearing 10 from Bailey Zappe. Just saying. You know, everybody thought
Another
Mac was
Southern
the problem
boy.
Last year, and now it looks like maybe Zappy's the problem, you know? Eventually, Taylor Swift dates every single guy. They're all a problem. Maybe you're the problem, Taylor. You know, it's one of those things. 617-779-7937.
Wait, so who's the problem here?
Bailey Zappe's Taylor Swift in that analogy, and okay. Mac Jones, and Mac Jones is Harry Styles, and I think that Drake May is... who's another guy that she dated? Did
Ed
she ever?
Sheeran?
One of
Ed
the
Sheeran?
Jonas
did she date Ed Sheeran?
No, she didn't date.
No,
Ed
she did date
the
one
Jonas
of the
brother.
Kevin Jonas. All right, yeah.
I don't
so
know what the kids like.
He's
though.
One of the Jonases, and yeah, that's basically
that was like
what
15
we got here.
Years ago, though.
Yeah, no, it was dating.
Ooh,
myself.
Ooh, John Mayer. She dated John Mayer.
Did she really?
Yeah.
Taylor Swift and John Mayer. John Mayer
and
dated
Jake Gyllenhaal.
All. My goodness. Oh, yeah, she wrote a song about Jake Gyllenhaal. Right
John Lovitz, I think she dated John Lovitz.
Yeah, John Lovitz.
Definitely John Lovitz. Mac Jones is John Lovitz in this analogy. And we'll have, Harry Styles can be Drake May.
Yeah, hello. 617-779-7937
is the phone number. We'll get to more of your phone calls. And we'll talk about something Tom Curran said about pushing Drake May, a very unusual analogy, right after this.
This is Jones and Mego.
You're Dr. Doom over there.
I am. I'm also Dr. Hungover today.
On WEEI.
On WEEI.
Push him to the point he pees down his leg. And if he doesn't pee down his leg, then you have your answer. I don't know if they've pushed him to that extent yet. And I think that that's what they ought to do. Keep pushing them forward.
Tommy Curran, Patriots Talk Podcast.
He's a poet. You can tell
he really is.
You can tell he was an English major, which is something he's very proud of.
Yeah. You know, you get like, sometimes there's guys like Gasper who's using big words all the time, big flowery prose. And then there's people like Tommy Curran. Who
push him with a pointy piece down his leg.
That's exactly, you know, I mean, we all can relate to that. We've all done it.
When's right? the last time?
I'm doing it right now.
I thought there was a scent in the air, but you never know with this studio when Gretchen Fourier
That's
or
true.
Fourier.
Masks it very well. You do anything. But yeah, that's
did Fourier make popcorn or is that just our kid peeing in a seat?
I mean he's having Fourier, he's having problems getting around, so
that's true.
What's wrong with Fourier?
Fourier was all excited because I was stretching my hip. He was like, "You got a bad hip too?" I was like, "Yeah, dog."
Yeah, man.
That furniture at the Jimmy Fund screwed me up for 3 days.
I really sink into those chairs.
I'd look out
That's
for a
true.
Bottle in that studio, Mego, if I was you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gross.
Yeah, don't drink the tea. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. I agree with the sentiment that Tommy is putting out there.
Push him to the point he pees down his leg.
I agree with that. I think that you need to do that. You do have to push him. You do have to give him more to do, as you said. Not as nicely as Tommy did. But, yeah, I think that that's the point. He showed now that at the very least, and this may be a low bar to clear, at the very least, he's a functional NFL quarterback. Functional, I think.
Against backups.
Against the backups, which, again, is, you know, with the all we've seen. But he was out there, and he was able to put a couple of drives together. He was able to make some plays. He should have had more yards than he did. It wasn't his fault. And he didn't do anything that I thought indicated that he was completely overwhelmed, which people were expecting. People were expecting to see that. You have to give him more now. You have to give him a another challenge. You have to give him some reps with the ones. I think if you don't get any reps with the ones this week, that's going to be unjustifiable. I don't think Gerard Mayo is going to be able to go out there and look at the media with a straight face and look him in the eye and tell him, yeah, you know, we really thought it made more sense to just give all the number one reps to Brissett, even though you saw Drake May clearly outplay him in that game against the Eagles. I think that's one of those things that's going to turn the tide. You know, the tide right now is sort of, okay, we're cautiously optimistic. We want to see what's going on here. We haven't been privy to all these practices like the media has. Some people go and see them, I guess, but the greater public in general doesn't know. We depend on what we read. And a lot of people and, you know, videos and things like that have shown that it hasn't been great for May. I think that Tommy Curran gave him, what, a C-plus on the show yesterday? Like, that was his grade for him so far, which is not the type of grade that you look at and say, okay, well, you got to get this guy out there week one. I think last night you saw something greater than that, and you saw something less than that from the guy that you're supposed to be starting. So it's going to come down to, I think, this question. Do you care more about trying to win games with May, the better quarterback, or protecting him for next year and the year after that and whenever else it's however long you plan on having him here, which, you know, is going to cut that off by 1 year in his rookie deal, which I don't love. But again, that's, you know, that's the plan. Is that a question that can be answered in a way that's going to not piss everyone off? You know, like that. I feel like no matter what it is, there's going to be people either upset that they're deviating from the plan and people upset that they're not going with the better quarterback.
See, that's interesting because I feel that the calculation they're trying to make right now, and that's only going to get harder once the season starts, is do you want to focus on getting the ready-to-play-now players ready to go for week one? Right. And that's everybody from who you're playing on the offensive line. Like, are you going to keep rolling out Vidarian Lowe because he has some NFL game experience and Jacoby Brissett instead of having a youth movement come in? Even if it comes down to putting KJ Osborne in for more snaps than, say, Jalen Polk. Like, these are calculations, I think, all over the field that they need to make. Are you going to embrace the suck for the sake of development for the future? Or do you think that you can't get the team ready for week one right now if you're so focused on the younger guys? And then once you get into the season, then you're doing install every week. You're very structured. You're doing game prep. And how do you develop any of those guys during that unless they're like, you know, baptism by fire the way that Justin Herbert was, where you get thrown in because you have to? And I just think that they have really shown themselves to be on the side of, we're just trying to be a professional football team this year, guys. And I think that after watching a little bit of last night and even watching the Joe Milton experience the week before that, fans are going, we kind of just want to see something that we can be hopeful about.
Yeah.
Like, we want to see something dynamic and talented that we can be hopeful about. Not like, this is okay for now. Just wait till what we're going to show you in 2025. Because they've been waiting around with that kind of promise for a couple seasons now.
Yeah. And it hasn't really developed, not just in the sense of, you know, the preseason, but in the roster either. I mean, I think the roster right now is on offense anyway, is lost. There's no hierarchy. I guess you have like David Andrews, who's sort of the guy on the offensive line.
And Hunter Henry, probably.
And Hunter Henry, if he's playing, you know, Kendrick Bourne, if he's playing. Cole Strange might be something if he's playing, he's on the pup list. Like, you know, you have these guys, and maybe Strange isn't ever going to be anything either, but there's not much at tackle. There's no hierarchy. We don't know who's the starter, who's the backup. They all kind of suck. Like, there's no one really standing out in that. And wide receiver, you know, between Rager and Osborne and Booty and Thornton, like, there's no hierarchy there. And if you had gone out and at least gotten one name, one person that you can just stick at tackle or stick at wide receiver, have them be the man in that room and have everyone sort of fall in line behind them, I think that would have made a huge difference
here. Wasn't that supposed to be Mike Unwenu? They signed
him. He's not a tackle
anymore.
Well,
I know, that's what I'm saying. They signed him to tackle money, and then I wonder if, okay, Van Pelt comes in and he goes, he's a guard. You know, you can't force him to be a tackle. This is going to be a worse situation than trying to put Vidarian Lowe or whoever else on the right tackle.
And Winer was a tackle last year.
I know, but only for, you know, so many games, and he had injuries before that.
I guess he did, but do you think he's going to be better or worse than Chuks Okorafor? Like, that's, you know, that's sort of
that's
the point.
That's the calculation they're making.
Yeah. And
it seems like they've decided that he's gonna be a guard. And again, like, I know people are like, oh, who cares about the offensive line? They just think of this as this,
the
like,
quarterbacks
amorphous
care
thing.
About the offensive line.
But it also isn't just the quarterback. It's like, okay, so are you going to get anything out of Ramondre Stevenson this year? Are you going to be doing the outside zone running scheme that Alex Van Pelt promised he was bringing in? Or do you have to go back to the gap runs? Because you have to run through the guards where you actually have talent at Onwenu, because he's not playing tackle.
Yeah. Listen, run game didn't look great either. Ramondre Stevenson and this inside run game hasn't exactly set the world on fire itself, considering that Mayo's come out and talked about how that's going to be a main part of this. But anyway, 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Elliot Wolf was on with the CBS broadcast. They talked to him during halftime, and he had some interesting things to say about Drake May, about Matthew Judon. We'll get into more fallout from the Judon trade, if you want to call it that, fallout reaction, I guess, and some of the highs and lows that you saw on the defensive side and with some of the other players not named Drake May. We'll get into all of that next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, fantasy football owners, the road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster: wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.